and welcome to The Talkies, a weekly film podcast with me, Michael Henry.
And me, Lucy Smith.
This week we'll be discussing old age.
Yeah, how did you find this theme this week? Well, how did you go about picking something?
Well, I think it's too easy to go, basically in media and film and TV and everything, there's too much of a trend of, that. Well, first of all, there aren't many roles for older people. It's kind of this part of life that people don't want to think about or talk about too much because it's close to death. And one thing I consciously wanted to do was pick a film that's kind of a celebration of later life rather than a film like Amour, where it's quite bleak and sad. It's beautiful, but it's kind of bleak and sad. And I didn't want it to be about death or near death. I wanted it to very much be that there can be vitality in people's later years. So I kind of struggled a little bit with, because there aren't as many choices, like we've said with the writing podcast as well, the writing episode, that there aren't that many. It's hard to dramatise something where there's probably less action. I thought about Magnolia, because it's one of my favourite films. You know, there's an old guy dying in the bed as part of the ensemble, but I didn't think it was good enough for old age. About Schmidt and Nebraska, some great examples, but again, their bodies are falling apart and their memories are going. It wasn't really what I wanted to address this week. Benjamin Button, I thought, might have been a good one. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's probably more time. I don't really know what we could do about that one. There's some Japanese films. There's films like Akira. There's one called Umberto D, about a man and his dog. That's really sweet. But my pick for the week was Old Man and the Gun, because I haven't smiled this much start to finish during a film in a very long time. And I don't think it came out this year, but this year's when I saw it for the first time. And it's Robert Redford's last film. People probably best know Robert Redford for Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I think he's in River Runs Through It. I might be getting that mixed up. But it's a true story of a guy called Forrest Tucker who escapes from prison at the age of 17. He starts to continue to do bank robberies despite the fact he's in old age. And he meets a woman who's similarly aged, who's played by Sissy Spacek. And they start to fall in love.
Who I was trying to work out how I knew her so much, and I realised she's Carrie.
Yeah, Carrie. She's in, how else is she in? Badlands.
And I recognised her nose.
She's got a very distinct look. But yeah, the cast is amazing. You've got Tom Waits, Danny Glover. There's just, Casey Affleck is this guy who's a cop on his tail because he basically charms his way into robbing banks. He doesn't threaten people. He goes in, he smiles, and he just sort of says, I've got a gun. And then he asks them how the day is. He's really sweet to them.
Yeah, he's a gentleman, isn't he? It's such a mischievous film. I love this. I was the same. I was smiling all the way through.
And do you see what I mean about it being sort of a celebration of later life? Because these people are both in their 70s, and it's a celebration of their careers as well, because Sissy Spacek's one of the best actresses around as well. If you watch Carrie, that's one of the best performances ever, I think. But yeah, pairing those two, and you're kind of wondering if he's going to get arrested again. You know, it's based on a true story.
Yeah, and I think it plays a lot with the whole, he looks run down, this must be the end of him, and he just brings back up, just like how the finding joy in what you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, saying no to what people expect you to do in your 70s can give you new life. Yeah, I love that idea.
And there's another film called The Bucket List, which I don't think is a very good film, but it's a similar thing. It's trying to be a celebration of life. So it's Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. They're working through their bucket list because they haven't really lived. Well, they have lived, but you know, they haven't really done everything they ever wanted to. And they kind of question why they haven't. And there's something about that I do like. I definitely admire people who don't let the spark burn out, if that makes sense.
No, definitely. And I think, how to... See, it's strange because some films will have, I think there's a lot of a trope is someone who goes through life not really living. And then finally, when they realise they can do whatever they want to, they sort of don't give a fuck anymore and they become a child again. Whereas this film, I think he was always loving life, living life. Is it a true story?
Yeah, it's basically, they have dramatised a few things, and also because they knew. So the director, David Lowery, who he's also directed A Ghost Story quite recently, well, about 5 years ago maybe, he said he knew it was Robert Redford's last film, so he made a conscious effort to make sure it felt like a Robert Redford film as well. Like, he has played these you know, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid is the kind of the cheeky, charming, almost con man kind of Western. It's very much pure entertainment. It's not like Once Upon a Time in the West that we've talked about. It's not like a sprawling epic that's about the dawn of the West. It's very much just a kind of fun, entertaining film. And he made a lot of those films. I mean, he did serious work too, like All the President's Men, for instance, which is obviously about Watergate. It's very serious. But he, as a person, as an actor, has retained that charm.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's just a very likeable guy. And there's even clips from some of his other films. There's flashbacks and they use old films that he's in. And they even use the font that was the same font, I think, from Butch Cassidy. It could be a different film I think of. So, yeah. And I think, yeah, I mean, taking the person away from the character for a second, I can't think of a better choice than Robert Redford. Like, he is that kind of person. He's still very much involved in politics and independent film. And he's, you know, Sundance Film Festival is his baby, basically. So he's very much still involved, very charming, very nice. It's rare to have someone reach old age and not have some bad stories about them. I mean, I love people like Jack Nicholson, but there's got to be some terrible stories about that guy.
I mean, it doesn't quite cover it, but one thing this film does sort of highlight is the amount of stuff you can get away with in old age. And I quite like how it's playing with that, like, mischief side. Like, so this guy goes into a bank, suited up, you know, oh, I'd like to open a checking account, please. And then suddenly, you know, the gun's not even out. He's just saying he has one. And what age, what happens when you age and maybe become less visible and therefore people assume things about you and therefore you can play with that? I quite liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, what this film sort of like brought to the surface for that.
Well, I think it's common, and I think unfortunately, you saying, you know, people kind of fade into the background, that's the sad side of old age, really, is that generally speaking, life does become a kind of slow decline. You know, you sort of become unable physically or mentally to do the things you used to, which is kind of why I picked this film. Like, you know, it's very much, it's larger than life, even though it's based on a true story. And yes, this guy did do these things. He broke out of prison several times. He robbed, I think, hundreds of banks. It's such a romantic idea that I don't think will really exist. It definitely doesn't exist now, and it definitely can't exist in the future, I think. That I can't imagine. It's kind of sad for different reasons. I can't imagine people now, so say in their 20s now, I can't imagine them reaching old age and having the same charm, if that makes sense, unless you're in a weird part of the world.
You never know what's going to happen in future, though, because once these guys are getting to old age in the film, they got their little gang, the Over the Hill Gang, they're called. I think once they reach their old age, things have changed in the world and they're able to like navigate that. And people in their 20s now, they're going to become, I think it's hard to imagine it, but they're going to become obsolete and society's going to be different again. So I think they've got every chance of being like cheeky
I'm not saying that
messing with it.
I'm not saying that it won't happen. I'm saying that it will probably happen and they'll buy into the idea that, because everything's so immediate and everything's about youth, very much about youth these days, I would say. Even the way films are marketed, it tends to be marketed at 14 to 20, generally.
Okay.
And yeah, I just think that people are going to just buy into the idea that, well, you're out of use now. You just repeat the rest of your days onwards and onwards. And personally, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to, you know, have a great 2 or 3 years and then just settle's not the right word, but I don't want to just repeat the same day like Groundhog Day for the rest of my life, because where's the fun in that? Like, I'm not saying I want to become a bank robber at 70, but I'd like to think I'd still keep exploring if I make it to 70, and I'd like to still retain some of the good qualities that I have now, whatever they may be.
I like that they have a little community, like it's these three blokes in the film, it's not just Robert Redford on his own. Yeah, I like that they have this little sort of gang. I mean, maybe when we get older, it would have to be like a community push, like one person can be like the outlaw, but yeah, to have fun like that, I don't know. Do you imagine when you're older, you'll have your buddies around you? Will you have your own gang? Or will you be like...
I don't know. I feel like this is going to take a turn now. I don't know. I think if I reach old age, I'll probably be the kind of curmudgeon-y loner who...
Get off my lawn!
Yeah, maybe not with that accent, but...
whatever that was.
It's a weird one that I have friends around the country, but I do find that I have a very small group of friends. Like, I don't, not in the way that I used to when I was in my 20s, that I kind of, people, I don't know, it's a weird one. Like, I kind of, I've slowed my life down a lot since my 20s. I was burning it at both ends and kind of started on the middle too. And people would get drawn to you through that. But I think there's too much negative downsides to it. And unfortunately, I'd say I found it harder to make new friends as I've got older, because I'm in my 30s now. And I think it's definitely something that, you know, people say, oh, when you're old, it's a very lonely period. That I kind of think, yeah, it probably get harder and harder that the older you get to make new friends, and especially friends that mean a lot. Sorry, this is sounding very depressing now.
No, you just made me think though, like, because yeah, even from jumping from like uni first year or whatever to adult world, it's noticeable. It's, but I think it's not that people aren't willing to make friends, it's that society doesn't really expect it of you anymore. You know, you've got your life and you're an adult, so you don't need playtime or whatever, but you totally do. And I think, yeah, maybe I hope I'm the sort of old person who just can ignore who you're meant to talk to or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't remember who I was chatting to. It was ages back, but it was, they were quoting some person who'd made a video, I think, about two strangers meeting in London, and they said to talk to a stranger is an act of rebellion.
That's great.
I hope I'm just rebellious all my life. And
I love that line.
Yeah. I mean, just make friends wherever, even if it looks weird and desperate. Well, no, don't be desperate. Well,
that, I think that's the problem, is that when you're older, it can. Cause my granddad's a great example, because my nan's very quiet. I can't think of any new friends that she's made in my lifetime, which sounds very horrible, but I don't mean it in a horrible way. It's just my granddad's very much the person who, he'll take a seat when they go shopping, and he'll just talk to whoever's there, and he finds out the life story in 10 minutes, and I love that.
Love it.
That's something to aspire to, is just constantly be friendly, make friends, find out. I don't know if I've got that in me. I think, unfortunately, I'll be the kind of old man drunk on a bench, like, hoping someone's going to talk to him, but being like, oh, this is really lonely.
But I think that happens.
Like, I did say,
I think that happens in old age, though, that you're more likely to sort of chill out and see the world, like, zoom out from it a bit and just see things as not as important as we make them out to be. Like, so chatting to someone and finding out their life story becomes way easier. I see that with, like, my parents as they get older. They just sort of chat to the checkout person and find out about their day, whereas me as a teenager trying to do that, no way. Like,
Yeah.
When you become less self-aware and insecure, I think it helps.
Well, hopefully that happens. We'll see. So I want to turn this around to your choice, because I'm not sure if you picked what you've picked because you think this is the kind of old person you might be, or if you want to be. So can you introduce your pick for the week?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I'll just say that a few that I thought of were things like Big Fish, where...
Oh, yeah.
You make stories about your life, and my nana does that a lot, and I love that idea. I also thought of The Leisure Seeker, which is a very sad one about dementia and losing your mind and stuff. But I didn't feel like covering that.
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, it's Helen Mirren and Donald Sutherland. Oh, God, I could have got that wrong. They're very good. But I chose Kingdom of Dreams and Madness. It's a documentary. It's by Mami Tsunade, and it's about Hayao Miyazaki, who was basically creator of most Studio Ghibli films, and it follows him in the studio. He's 72. It's mainly about the Studio Ghibli company and learning about how they do what they do, but it actually kind of digs into him quite a lot. It's a documentary about him and how he sees the world, and the more I watch it, the more I change my mind about it. You've said, you've watched it, and you said that he came across really cynical.
Well, okay, cynical might not be the right word, but I think it's weird. I feel like our picks, they're both kind of celebratory, because he's still, well, I mean, this documentary was made in 2013, I think, and that's when he stopped making Ghibli films.
Yeah, it covers his last film, The Wind Rises, yeah.
I remember that being like a huge shock, because, I mean, one, I didn't realise how old he was, but two, it's such a vital voice. Like, he's very, very much advocates for making sure the environment's taken care of and all these kind of things. But I think our picks this week, it's almost like I've picked what I think you'll grow up to be like, and you've picked what I think I'll grow up to be like.
Oh, really?
I think, Well, so I copied a quote that I think was great that kind of sums him up, I think, a bit. Is he says, "The notion that one's goal in life is to be happy, that your own happiness is the goal, I just don't buy it." He has a lot of lines like this, which are, I mean, it's not cynical, but it's more realistic. And I think he, you know, a lot of his lines are like, "I think the world's screwed. We haven't done a very good job."
Yeah.
That's what I mean, is that that's kind of my approach to life a little bit, is I think we're on a sinking ship, that not enough work is being done to stop that. Whereas I think you're probably a bit more like Forrest Tucker, that you'll be rebelling till the end.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the idea that I'll just be... we can never learn everything, and to even to be 70 and assume that you can say an absolute about the world, I don't buy.
Yeah.
I also don't buy everything that Miyazaki says. I don't think that he's... I think he's very smart and aware and wise, but I also think that his actions betray him. I think he uses his words to come across as this guy.
I can see that.
I mean, I agree. I think he does say happiness isn't... He's never happy in the everyday, and that shouldn't be our goal. But I think he's doing that to preach the idea that, you know, why should it be about me, and why should it be about the greed? He set up his company... When he set up his company, it was never... He was saying, look, a company is just a word for a thing that gets money. And he said to his workers, I want you to quit if you're not bringing ideas, or if you're not enthusiastic and passionate about this. It is not about the money. And that's his philosophy. So I think that was more to do with that.
Well, I loved that. And that's kind of my philosophy too, is that, you know, I don't have a lot of money, but, you know, I give 10% of whatever is like profit away, because you can't be doing this for the wrong reasons. And I think life is too short. Like, you kind of... I know it's thrown around a lot, and life can feel very long sometimes, I'll be honest, but I do feel that, why would you make something if just for the money? Like, how much better is your life going to be if you... I mean, the guy who directed Old Man and the Gun is probably a good example of this, that he did it right, I would say. He directed Pete's Dragon, which is a live-action remake of the Disney film, and then he took his earnings and then he made a ghost story, and I think it was maybe like $100,000, probably a bit less. It's very, very low budget for what he accomplished anyway. And I recommend A Ghost Story. I know it's not for everyone because it's a bit slow in places, but I thought that was an amazing film. And yeah, like, if you're gonna... Like, how much better is your life gonna get if you make a Disney film? Probably not. You can buy some new things, but you've spent 2-3 years on something you don't really care about. I personally don't see the point in doing that. And I think Miyazaki is a great example of sticking to his guns, makes exactly what he wants. There's real heart there, there's real emotion. I think the Ghibli films are some of the best films ever made. I mean, I don't want
to... And he takes, even to the end, he's 72 and he's taken risks. The whole thing is about watching him make this film. Also, he doesn't write his films. He draws his storyboards, and he times himself. He gives himself 5 seconds to think of the next image and then 5 seconds to draw it, I think, something like that. And there's just a scene where he's going, whoa, that whole scene changed because he like did something slightly different in the picture. And he keeps saying films are organic, and he's just constantly like open to little twists of fate and open to basically what life brings. And he's constantly taking risks, and in that way, a rebel, just like...
Definitely, yeah.
Someone who goes robbing banks, like...
Yeah.
He's staying open to things. And yes, he's saying that the world's gone shit, but that's because it had. Like, Fukushima had happened, and, you know, all this stuff's going downhill, and he turns to kids. But, like, I don't think he's an unhappy man. I think he's lying to himself there, because he puts toy goats in the window to, like... amuse the kids. He spends every morning with nursery kids. He thinks they're the future.
I didn't want to suggest that he's like this, what I said earlier of myself, that I think I'll be this kind of weird shut-in who's just not very well liked.
No, I don't think you'll be that, though. I think you will be more like Miyazaki.
I don't know, I'm torn. Like, I'm kind of... This part of me, because I'm very conflicted on what we're talking about this week, that I've said I wanted to pick stuff that's a celebration of life, but I honestly don't think old age is something I look forward to. I grew up, like I say, with my grandparents, and progressively you just lose your faculties. You just...
This is a big thing, actually, about like physical health. So I think it's a cultural thing, but like in Japan, So Miyazaki, who's 72, is in very good health. So they have those radio exercise mornings in Japan where everyone, no matter where you work, factory, office or whatever, you do your exercises. The food's obviously very good, and just, you know, the physical health side of things is very important. So I think it all depends on how we look after ourselves. And also,
oh, definitely, yeah.
If his brain's still whirring away and he's still open to ideas and making films, it's not going to deteriorate.
Well, he's come back to filmmaking as well. He's got a couple of films.
Has he? And then one's in the works.
Yeah, I think he's got one coming out this year. I think he had one come out 2 years ago. Yeah, so The Wind Rises is the one that was when this documentary was made. And then a short film, Borrow the Caterpillar, a year or two ago. And there's something in production called How Do You Live? So it's not like he's given up. And I think that's what's important, I think, is that if you lose the thing that, not defines you, but you lose the thing that gives your life meaning. This is what I'm trying to say about myself, is that if I become unable physically or mentally to do what I love, I don't see much point in living. It's something that's given my life meaning. And the pursuit of this weird thing we do is and has been the only constant in my life. You know, that relates to the pick, I think, sorry, my pick, that I think that's what keeps him going. Is like, that's what has defined him. He's a bank robber. He's charming. He's nice. He's a gentleman. And he's not a bad person at heart. But the second they try and stop him doing things, he starts to crumble in a way. Like, you don't see much of it, but I get there's a weird drive behind all of it that it isn't necessarily just a positive thing. And I think Miyazaki's the same thing, that he hasn't lost the creative spirit. He retired because, why can't, do you know why he retired? I can't remember exactly what he said.
Well, the whole film is sort of about, you know, he says filmmaking is meaningless now.
I have to agree, but...
But thing is, in his retirement speech, the first line of it was, I hope to work for another 10 years. I think he's disillusioned with how stuff is going and ready to give up. But he's, you know, this was a guy who, even when 72, never took a holiday, had Sundays off, but spent his Sundays cleaning up the river in his local town. It's a lot of care and a lot of dedication, and I don't think that just ends.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, apart from the cleaning of the river, it's very relatable. Like, he doesn't take a day off. That's how I am. And I think making this personal as well, like, my granddad's the same. He would always be working on something. In fact, my whole family, they're all kind of workaholics in their own way. They'll be passionate about something. They don't really stop. Like, my mum will work 50 hours a week, 5 days a week, and then on a weekend be doing gardening or, like, just being busy, basically. And my granddad as well with his own work. And that's what I mean, is I find it hard to see someone turn like 80 and then slowly they can't do the things they want to do, and then they just, you know, they wake, my granddad in particular wakes up and he doesn't have good mornings sometimes, so he's just unable to do anything for the day. He's just bedridden, and then he has to hope that there's gonna be some energy in the evening, and that's not what I want. And that's why I think personally another 25 years I'd be pretty content with that. I feel like I could do some good work, keep exploring the world. That's one thing I wanted to talk about as well, was bucket lists is quite an interesting thing that relates to all this. Have you got stuff have you got things on your bucket list? Because I don't want to just talk about myself, so we'll start with you and then we'll get back to why I brought this up.
Okay.
So is there anything in life you're like, I really want to do that, I haven't done that yet?
Plenty, but I'm open to the idea that I won't do it because I trust myself to do things when the opportunity comes up. But I do have little things like, for my 40th, I'd quite like to do a hot air balloon ride. Just like stuff like that.
Why are you 40th? Why have you got to wait?
Because I want to do other stuff for my other birthdays.
Okay. So, do you use birthdays as milestones to achieve stuff then? Because I do that.
Do you know what? I not really thought about it, but yeah, maybe. Just in terms of bucket list, I guess it's stuff that I've got, like, very short term. I've started making lists of what I want to do in a year, and it'll be tiny things as well as the bigger things. Crossing that off feels so good. And I think it's good to keep a record of what you have done, because you can get very, oh, I've done nothing with my life. You can get very down on yourself. But yeah.
Well, particularly this year. I think this year in particular has hit a lot of people. I found it strange that I can't travel. And I did have a weird thing last year where I wasn't sure. So basically the start of last year, I ticked off the last thing on my bucket list, which sounds like a great achievement, but I felt miserable.
Yeah, I think that's really not a great idea to have a finite bucket list.
Yeah, well, I've started a new one, and I've, you know, it's not so much a list of like that needs to be done by them. But I realised that, same with my films, I need the next thing lined up, that I feel like I could happily pass away now and feel like I've done everything that was really gnawing at me. Like, I need to travel for a year, like just disappear somewhere.
I think that's a perfect way to live in general. Like, I could happily die now knowing that I've done everything that I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. Or I even understand why I didn't do some things. I think that's a good way. Like, maybe don't create like boundary, like things with little like fences around them. This is what I'll do, but just do it when it comes up.
This is where we're very different, I think. I'm very, I'll write something down and say, it's happening then, I'm doing it. Unfortunately, I forgot that I should probably have something else lined up. Because once you finish, I don't know if you feel the same way.
The anti-climax.
Well, that's how I feel when I finish a project as well, as I feel it's the worst feeling, in my opinion. It's the worst thing to finish a huge project you've worked on for 2 or 3 years, because then you're left with you feel empty. You feel, it's like a postnatal depression. I know that's, some people won't understand what I mean by that, because, you know, you can't relate a human to a creative experience, but that's the closest thing I can think of, that you don't have anything left, or it's like emptiness syndrome that you do get. I personally go through like a good 2 or 3 months of just feeling awful, and if I don't have something lined up that's the next thing, I lose my energy, I lose my momentum, I lose just kind of part of myself too, I think. And that's what I think, tying back to Miyazaki, he seems to be that kind of person, that you, like, you know, if you stop, then you've stopped, basically. You can't keep that momentum.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, he's always striving for stuff. There's like a bit in the film as well where he's, you get a sense of longing for himself to be young again as well, because he's trying to draw this Zero fighter plane that's in The Wind Rises, and he can't do it. He's got personal reasons for that too, but his producer says that he believes that Miyazaki has a fantasy that his younger self could do it better, and that's what he's always trying to do, day in, day out, trying achieve this fantasy. So I guess he's got things that he'll never achieve, and these disappointments. I also think I don't aspire to be him. I think he's got very twisted ideas of how his life should be, and I don't think, like, he's right, he is unhappy. He's created some amazing things, but like, that you can see from the people around him, they're scared of him. He really stresses people out. He can snap. He's got a lot of pride, and he can snap in an instant if you hurt his ego. Like, he's a great man, but I do not aspire to be him.
Again, very relatable. Not saying I'm great, I'm just saying, like, the personality traits, it's, I think you kind of have to, in some ways, I'm not going to say you have to be unhappy to create, that's not true. And the whole artist is, you know, suffering of an artist stuff is bullshit. But you have to have something missing to aspire to
something. You've got to want to find something, though. You can't feel like you have it all.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But I think if you feel like you've got everything, you've stopped thinking.
Yeah.
So we all have something missing until the day we die, so just keep searching for it. Basically, like, don't get complacent and go, oh, I've missed it, it's gone now, and sit in your chair all day. That's not what I want to do.
Yeah, keep searching, keep exploring, definitely.
Yeah.
We've talked about these two people as examples. Do you have an ideal version of yourself for the future? Like a very specific one? Or are you just going to kind of wing it and just see what happens?
No, but I want to keep the core that I've built up that I know I'm proud of. That is me.
What is that?
Oh, God.
It's okay. It's okay to be proud of yourself.
Basic kindness, also confidence, respect, and love of myself. If I keep that and then just keep exploring outside, use that core and keep exploring, I'm going to be grand.
That's a very nice thing to say.
I know. So twee. What about you?
Definitely not as twee. like I say, I personally, and a lot of people won't want to hear this, but I can't picture old age. It's not something I really want. So I picture like a 55-year-old who got as close as they can to making something they felt was perfect. That's my life goal, is to try and make a film that I think is as close to perfect, whatever that means. It won't exist, obviously, but I want to aspire to it. And I don't mind saying that I want to be considered one of the best filmmakers of all time. Anyone who tells you that they don't is a liar, in my opinion. Anyone who's like, I just want to make films, you don't. You want to make something that's great and you want people to love it. And, yeah. You know, it's unfortunate I make films at a time where they aren't appreciated in the same way they used to be. Even if I made something that I thought was historic in terms of the bigger picture that would be remembered, it probably won't be remembered. But I'm still going to try and I'm still going to keep pushing because I love what I do. Again, it's not twee.
Yeah, in your the final line in, well, one of the final lines in your film, Anhedonia, quick plug, is this old guy who says, if it makes you feel any better, what does he say? I don't feel I ever created anything.
I've never reached the level that I thought I should. So this guy who made the perfect piece of music.
That's not the old man you think you'll be. You think you'll have reached as close to that level as you think.
Yeah, we'll see. Thank you for listening to The Talkies. This week's episode was Old Age. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. And remember to tune in for next week's episode.